pray for Alan just now. Yeah, Father, as we sang in that song, we are hungry for your word this morning. We know that your word fills us and satisfies us. And I thank you this morning that Alan is here to share the word with us. Lord, I thank you for the truth that he brings to us in this place. Lord, I thank you for the work that he has done to prepare for this morning. I pray that you would bless that and honour that, and no minute of that would be wasted because of the work that he's done to do this, to share with us this morning. So Lord, would you open our eyes, open our ears to what you want to do in this place as he speaks, and bless him just now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Excuse me. Good morning, everyone. Nice to see you. The last few weeks for me have been interesting because I've been, as you know, away in Israel and then been part of the IRS ministry stuff that's been going on, which has been phenomenal. We've seen 24 people making first-time commitments to Christ in Rakese in the last 3 weeks, which is absolutely phenomenal, and we're just really encouraged by that. And by and actually, every place that the kind of team has gone, we had this lovely experience of kind of going to Rockcliffe. Where are you? I don't know. She's gone. She's disappeared upstairs with the kids. Helen Caldwell organized for us to be in Rockcliffe, which is in the Solway Firth. And we went on this particular occasion to go for a wee walk. And it was the smallest road at the back end of beyond. And weirdly, at the point where we kind of got to the car park, there was, even though there was nobody else there, there was an ice cream van. And and so even though it was raining, and even though it was like really quite cold, and even though we had a whole lot of people with us who are not Scots and who were wrapped up so much that you couldn't actually see them, they looked like kind of, you know how the Michelin Man thing, they were all kind of like this with all their clothes on. Anyway, even despite that, Jackie Thompson, who was the team leader, said, "We're going to go and have an ice cream now." And so we went off to this ice cream van, just us, nobody else, just us. And we all had 99s and all the rest of it, and that was fine. And it was great. It was absolutely brilliant. And then they went off on a bit of a walk, and then they came back, and I was doing something else. But we kind of found out afterwards, they came back sort of saying that Ben, who was the guy who actually was running the ice cream van, they went back, began to kind of talk to them, and then various things happened, and he came to faith. I was like, yeah, I know, it was like, it was the strangest thing. It really was. It was like I think because they were willing to talk to him and pray for him. So it really was very, very. It was just like God set things up again and again and again. And it's been, and I suppose that's really what I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the fact that God crashes in sometimes, and as a result of that, everything changes. Everything changes. I know that last week you had this passage, and I'm going to read it again because it is a passage where God crashes in. So if you want to read along with me, we're going to do Acts 2 again, the story of Pentecost. And so Acts 2, chapter 2, verse 1 says this. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven, and when they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? From Parthians and Medes, Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and those converted to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" And some, however, made fun of them, and they said, they've just had too much wine. when Peter stood up then with the 11 and he raised his voice and he addressed the crowd. The day of Pentecost was a day where God crashed in. He crashed into these people's lives. He crashed into them in such a way that they would never be the same again. They would never be able to kind of go, that never happened. You know, it was like, you know, that was just like a different thing. When God crashes in on our lives, he changes us forever. And as a result of that, that has an impact which actually, excuse me, which continues now and on into what it is that God wants to do with us. And so today I want to actually kind of just talk about where God has crashed in. Where God has crashed into your life. I want to ask, where has God crashed into your life? Where have there been moments where you have experienced such love that you'd never be the same again? Such power that you know that he touched you. Such incredible peace that you know that actually it doesn't matter what happens because you have something in you that will never change. When were the times where God crashed in on you? And in a minute or two, we're going to stop and I'm going to ask you just to actually make a list. Okay, we're going to come to that. I'll tell you some of my times. I remember Douglas West, 11 years old, sitting on a broken down brick wall, giving my life to Jesus. I remember the people sitting around me. I remember what the guy said to me. And then I remember that when I prayed, it was so real. Jesus came into my life. I invited him in and he came in. I remember it. Jesus crashed in. On that day, I remember it. I remember. There's lots and lots of stories. I mean, I thought about today, and I was thinking about what stories can I say, and then I sort of thought, what stories do I leave out? This is ridiculous, you know, because it just went one after another, after another, after another. Times when God has touched me, times when God has moved in my heart. I remember the time, I've been thinking a lot about the kind of stuff around Pemba and the Irish guys and the minister and the time that we were there in 2008. And I remember being picked out when I was in the school by the guy Bob Johnson, who's a kind of speaker that was there, and speaking over me a word of destiny that said, you know, you are going to have a calling which is going to have this implication and this implication and this implication. And my heart broke with the thought that actually God had a destiny on my life, had a calling on my life. God crashes in and says, I have a plan for you. And there are moments where you have had that experience. I know you have. Many of you here. And I want you to remember those days, those moments today, because they have implication for what will happen next. I remember standing in front of what felt like, you know, well, it was about sort of 1,500 people at Clan Gathering in 2010, the first time I had been invited to speak at a big conference, and being absolutely bricking it, you know, really terrified in so many ways. But what God had done is he sort of said, I want you to speak about a vision for what can happen in Scotland. And so, really, in many ways, kind of like not being very sure, I remember saying, I believe that God has called us to create a vibrant, worshiping, witnessing church in every community and network in Scotland. And that is what we should commit ourselves to doing. That is where we should go. And then the strangest thing happened. Out of the front rows, the people who were leading the conference got up and got onto the stage and said, we agree, we're behind you, we're with you. And they all stood. And these were all people who I'd looked at for years as the kind of the my heroes of faith through Scotland and in other places. And there they were beside me saying, we should do this, we agree. God crashes in and he speaks to us, he confirms to us the things that are important in our heart, the desires, the deep, deep, deep things which he has given to us. And I know that you have experienced that, some of you. I know that you've experienced moments where God has just, as I say, crashed in. God crashed in, it's not all dramatic things like that, though. I remember a time when we were in Gaerloch. We're going to go on holiday soon, and remember in Gaerloch, and it was the strangest thing. So we were down at the beach, and then there's rocks to both sides of our beach. So on the rocks, just to kind of the right of our beach, I went, and it was really windy. The waves were big, and they were sort of smashing off the rocks, and the spray was going everywhere. And I remember just kind of walking on the beach, kind of like looking at the spray, kind of going, wow, that's impressive. You know, I mean, it was like, it really was big. It was like, you know, this sort of thing. And I remember God sort of saying, how deep do you want to go with me? And I went, ooh, I really want to go really deep. And then he said, how deep? Come on, come out then. Come out into the water. And I'm kind of going, this is silly. This is silly, God. Anyway, I was on the rocks, and it was one of those sort of things where I was kind of like, I was there, and then the wave came in, went sploosh, and then it went back out again, and you could see the next rock. And he sort of said, right, come on. So I jumped onto the next rock. And it was, by that point, I was too far out, and it was like, I was getting wet. I was just like, I'm going to get wet now. Okay. Anyway, and I remember, it was just one of those moments where I kind of went, he sort of said, how deep do you want to go? And I said, I want to go all the way, God. And he said, right, come on then. And there was another rock in front of me, so I stepped into the other rock. And by this time, I was absolutely soaking. I mean, it was really, really wet at that point. And the waves all just going boosh onto this rock and smacking into me. And it was a moment where I just remember meeting with God. And he crashed in, you know. And he crashed in and he crashed in. And God, there are moments like that that are not anybody else's. They're profoundly, you know, your moment with God. Nobody with you, nobody there. But you've had those moments where you know that God is real, that God crashed in, that God did what he was going to do. There are lots and lots and lots of stories I could tell you of the kind of times where God has crashed in. And this story of Pentecost, if you don't think that they spent their time in the next few weeks kind of going, you should have just seen your face when that flame was on top of your head, I'll guarantee you that's what they did. Your flame was a bit bluer than my flame. I think my flame was quite green. Don't you think my flame was quite green? I'm sure they did. I'm sure they did. Because they were sort of like, what on earth just happened? What on earth just happened? And the answer, of course, was God crashed in. God crashed in their lives. And they would never be the same again. They would never be the same again. So here's the thing that you never forget the moments when God crashes in. You can't. It's like it indelibly marks you. It indelibly marks your spirit. Because actually, God just kind of comes and it really can be anything. It could be just that gentle whisper of, you are my child, and I have chosen you. And suddenly you kind of go, you remember the moment when you heard that for the first time? Whoa. It could be dramatic moments where God speaks a word of calling on your life. It could be all sorts of different things. But you'll never forget them. You'll never forget them. And as I say, you'll never be the same again. Because you can't go back to not having had that experience. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's happened. I remember the ridiculousness of standing on that rock with the waves and God saying, come on deeper, come with me. I remember that. I can't forget it. It's in me, and it's in you too. And these stories, these moments, these points where God has broken in are absolutely essential. They're absolutely essential because actually they become the anchor points of our life. They become the points where, we kind of come back to, and we sort of say, yes, that's right, that happened. Yes, that's right, that happened. Yes, that's right, that happened. And they become the solid ground in which we stand. But they also become the kind of the way markers. You know, a way marker is a marker on a path. So a way marker for your life. Because you kind of get to this point, and then this thing, God breaks in. And then suddenly you kind of realize, oh, actually, this is the path now. And actually, those moments, you know, and I'm looking around and I'm sort of seeing different folks. I just think, you know, I know that you have experienced those things. I know that that's actually true. I know that that's part of what God does. And so what I want us to do just for a moment is, if you have your phone with you, this is an opportunity for you to take out your phone. If you take notes on your phone, and I know some of you are going, nah, don't even know how that works. Jim, and you in particular, I'm looking at you. I can see that you don't know what you're doing. So if you have a piece of paper or a pen, you can do it in the piece of paper. We're just going to take just a couple of minutes. And what I genuinely just want us to take a couple of minutes. And what I want you to do is I want you to kind of say, when are the things, where, as you think about the question, when did God crash in your life? When has God crashed in your life? I want you to think about those things. And I want you to make a list. So just off you go, just for a couple of minutes. If you've got a piece of paper and pen, we're going to do that. So, Lord, I pray, just bring to mind the things that you want to bring to mind. Remind us, Lord, just bring it back, that we would know that you are a God who loves us and cares for us and speaks to us and who crashes into our lives. Okay, that's, I'm sure that you could go on for a while. There are just a couple of things as I was preparing for today, and I was thinking about this whole thing of God crashing in, that I thought that it would be good for us to do, not just simply to make the list, but as you have made the list, I just want you to just where you are, just give thanks to God. Just take a moment or two just to say thank you. Just quietly, just on your own, just thanking him for what he's done, for the moments that he's crashed in, for those way markers in your spirit that have indelibly marked you and you'll never change, never be changed or lost. Loving Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we thank you so much. We thank you so much for the ways in which you have crashed into our lives over and over and over and over again. And we will never be the same. We will never be the same, Lord. We will always be marked by you, by the way in which you have changed us and touched us and created us to become the new creations that we are. And Lord, we bless you for what you have done, and we thank you for what you've done. And we recognize, Lord, that as we come to this time, this day, Lord God, we again ask, we want you to come and to do this, do the same again, Lord. Crash in on us today. Speak to us again today. Reveal yourself to us again today. Do what only you can do in this time and in this place. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And I want to kind of just remind you of two other things, two other encounters that Jesus had. The first one was when he had been through all sorts of different things with his disciples. And in Matthew chapter 16, it talks about the fact that there was a whole lot of contention about who he was and about, you know, what everybody, you know, he'd done all the miracles, he'd done all the teaching, and yet there are people who were sort of saying, you know, well, you know, he could be all sorts of people. And this is what he said. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked them, his disciples, who do people say the Son of Man is? And they replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, some others still say Jeremiah or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus said to them, but who do you say I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. You see, the one of the most important things that actually the encounters with God releases in our lives is that actually it gets us to the point where we are able to make that declaration, where we are able to say with all our hearts, you are the Messiah. You are God's answer to my life. You're the one that's going to make my life into what it's meant to be. And as you think about that list that you've made just now, as you think about those points where God has just broken in and broken in and broken in, I want us to stop and to actually say, you know, to make that declaration to Jesus. Jesus, I know that you are faithful. I know that you are faithful. I know that you're true. And all sorts of other people may say other things about you, but you are my Savior. You are my Lord. Jesus, you are my only hope. And so, Lord, that's what we say together. We say that. We those of us who have known you for years, those of you us who have experienced you for years, we know what other people may say of you. We know what other people may talk about you, but we have experienced your love in such a way that we say, you are the lover of our souls. You are the one who came to rescue us. You are the one who has given us hope. You are the one who has given us life. And you are the Messiah. You are the Savior. You are our Lord. And we choose you just as you chose us. We choose you again today. We declare that you are our God and there is no other. There is no other God. There is no other hope. And so, Lord God, here in this place, we make that declaration before you once more. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And then the last thing I want to sort of say, it was actually just as Donald and the band were kind of like leading us in worship I can't even remember the name of the song, but the sort of second one that he sang all about how God wants the whole of our hearts. And actually, there was something that process of giving ourselves more and more to God. That actually, as we see the faithfulness of God, as we see Him crashing in and crashing in and crashing in and crashing in, and now we're here, that actually God wants us to actually kind of move into that place where we say, our whole heart, Lord, everything that we are, everything that we have, we give it to you. We don't hold anything back. And I was particularly reminded of the story of another story about Peter, a different time later on, when in actual fact he had fallen away and he'd betrayed Jesus and he'd gone back to the fishing and all the rest of it. And Jesus came and he spoke to him again and he said, Peter, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? And he asked him, and Peter was sort of saying, and eventually Peter sort of said, you know I do. You know my weakness and my frailty. And listen, nobody's pretending here that we've got ourselves sorted out. You know, that somehow we're super Christians and we've got every answer and that all of our life is perfect. That's not what I'm talking about today. What I'm talking about today is the invitation off the back of seeing that God has been faithful, has touched your life, has touched your life, has touched your life, has touched, and that you would actually step in and you would sort of say, I'm actually going to take the next step. I'm going to give you everything that I can. As much as I can, I'm going to say, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you all. I want it all. I don't want anything held back. I know that I've given you that before and not always followed through, but today I'm deciding again. I'm deciding like Peter decided that, you know, that actually when you say, do you love me, I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes with all my heart. As much as I know myself, in all my frailty and weakness, I say yes. I give you my heart. I give you my yes. And so I'm going to invite the band, actually, if you'd come up, Donald and the guys, and actually let's sing that song again. And just as they lead us in that song and as we worship in that way, then, Lord, let this be an act of love to you. Let this be our response to you, to your word speaking to us today. Lord, we ask that you would crash in upon us today again, just as we offer this again to you. Because, Lord, you have been so good, so faithful. You have done it so many times. And, Lord God, as we look back on your faithfulness, Lord, you have never, ever let us down. We know your goodness and kindness and love. And even when we gave up on you, you never gave up on us. All of that's true, Lord, and we know that you are here in this place. And Lord, we do declare you as Messiah, as Lord, as Savior, but we also want to say to you, when you say to us, do you love me? We now want to say to you, yes, you know that I love you. And so with all our hearts, Lord God, with all our hearts now, as much as we can, we offer this to you now. So let's stand and let's just make this our act of devotion to the Lord.
You and I won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. You won't relent until you have it all. My heart is yours. Set you as a seal upon my heart, as a seal upon my arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave.
God, we say, would you be that fire inside of us, Lord God? Would you be the one who is our everything, Lord God? We want to say that today. We choose to say that today. We don't want to leave ourselves in that place where we've remembered your faithfulness again and again, and yet we hear, we stand here and we sort of say, well, okay, whatever. Instead, we choose today to say, everything, everything, everything. We're leaning in, Lord God. We're leaning into you, leaning into your plans, leaning into your purposes, Lord God. We're leaning into everything that you have for us, everything that you want for us. We choose you. As you chose us first, we now choose you, Lord God. And so, Lord God, would you consume us with your love? Would you consume us? Let that fire burn within us. Lord, make us burning ones, Lord God. Set that fire upon us, that flame in our hearts, Lord God. We don't want to be lukewarm. We don't want to be lukewarm. We give that up. We lay that aside. We want to be 100% for you. We choose you. We choose you, just as you first chose us. We choose you. So, Lord God, we ask that you would once again seal the work that you do in our hearts. As you've spoken, Lord God, today, as you've reminded us today, as you have come and as you have spoken to us, as we have made this declaration, Lord, seal this within us, that we would remember today, the day when we said our whole hearts, our everything, we give it all to you. Be the seal on our hearts, Lord God, to remind us of these things. And we bless you, Lord, for what you're doing amongst us. In Jesus' name we pray. Why don't you have a